702.
702 for the curious.
On 92.7 and 106 FM.
24 minutes to 2 o'clock. Rile Bukhile Maboja here on 702. And we take your calls on 011-830-702. Your SMS is 31702. Your tweets at Rile Bukhile M at Radio 702. And the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So if you have received your matric results either last night or the night before, this conversation is for you. We want to provide you with options available to you, whether you did well or you didn't do well, because you also might want to change your mind depending on how things went or whatever your December experience was. So this particular conversation, I think, is critical because many young people that may be listening, or parents, you might be feeling like, actually, we don't know what's next, because yes, prelim exams got a prelim place in a varsity or an institution, but now that's not longer available because the results didn't meet the entry requirements to confirm a seat. So we're speaking to Fiona Martin, industrial psychologist and career development professional, about tips for figuring out what to do after school. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rila Bukhile, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. All right, let's get started. You know, one of the things that I've experienced with my girls that I was mentoring, you know, we often just speak about the did you pass conversation, but it's actually, they are more intricate things because our standards are not the same. You know, there are some kids who walk away with 9-10 distinctions, and if they didn't get that 10th distinction, it would have been a massive disappointment. And then there are those who are just trying to get a bachelor's because of certain entry requirements. Let's just start at the starting point for the young people that are listening that didn't get what they hoped for. What message would you like to give to them?
First of all, you know, I'd like to congratulate for those that have passed. And I think for those that didn't get the result that they expected, you know, there is a myriad of options that is available. And I think the one thing that I've seen through my career is that, you know, career success is not a linear sequential process. So even if you didn't pass your matric this year, that does not have to impact your capability to be successful in life or in your career. Mm. And there's various options that you can take from here on in order to build up your portfolio to what you ultimately want to achieve.
And I mean, I loved the conversation that you started having online, I think a 2 days ago, to say there are a couple of options available to you. So let's start with, you know, the option where there is not even a possibility of you going to any type of tertiary institution, which means the likelihood is you're just going to be at home. What options are available to that young person who, you know, their prospects for getting a job are probably not as high as somebody who did really well and has a university degree? What should they be looking to you know, put their time on for the year?
Yeah, so I mean, in essence, some of the options that you have available, because, you know, the reality is that a qualification, and particularly a matric at the very least, or an NQF level equivalent, is a precursor to allow you to access, you know, several options. So if you failed or you haven't gotten the results that you hoped you would, there's a couple of options that you can pursue. So in essence, you can rewrite. So that's, I believe if you failed one or two subjects, they allow you to rewrite. You can also redo your entire matric, particularly if you didn't do so well. And I think the one thing I can say is, you know, having worked with students, the prospect of having to start all over again is normally very traumatizing. It's daunting. You know, it seems like, you know, you don't want to have to start back again, and particularly go back to the school that you were at. Mm. But the one thing that I can encourage is to say, you know, it's a very, very worthwhile investment in yourself. Having a matric certificate, particularly at a certain level where you've got a bachelor's entry or diploma entry, it's going to open up so many opportunities for you. So it's a worthwhile investment to do if you do have the opportunity. And I know that it seems difficult, but having worked with a lot of students, I can promise you most of them by the end I don't think I've ever met one that has sort of regretted, you know, having kids undergo the process, although in the beginning it was not a desirable option that they wanted to pursue.
And realistically, you know, to all the parents and loved ones of these young people, that is an option. I think we do need to understand the gravity of the disappointment for this child who may need to now go and face a group of peers that were below them, if it means repeating the year or whatever the case may be. It is humiliating. It's sad, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to see your group move forward and you not move forward with them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would say for parents, you know, I think it's all about being supportive. Fortunately, there's also various options. You don't necessarily have to go and repeat at the same school. Mm. So if that prospect is particularly traumatizing, there's other options where you can, you know, study at a college, you can study independently. There's various options that, you know, where you don't have to go back to the same environment, especially if that's going to impact, you know, your ability to have a positive outlook on having to repeat. Other options that can also be pursued is, you know, there's something that's called a technical matric that one could do. And it's slightly easier than a matric, and it takes about 12 months, and I think they write 3 exams within a year. Mm-hmm. So that's something as well that you can do if maybe you feel that repeating might not yield the result that you want, or you feel maybe your academic capability, you know, may be limited in terms of wanting to start all over again. So that's a potential option as well. I know the government has, I think it was last year where they launched the second chance matric program. So there's a couple of programs that are running, also some universities as well have some gap year programs or bridging programs that you're able to enroll into. But these, I think, are for if you don't quite meet the requirements for a particular qualification, they give you an opportunity to almost bridge and kind of get yourself upskilled, you know, and I see many of them are quite focused on the STEM type subjects, and it kind of enables you to enroll into a particular desirable field.
Can we just explain to all of the listeners what we mean when we say the STEM subjects?
And so that's science, technology, engineering, and maths. So basically, the sciences, which are a critical skill within the country, and there's quite a strong focus on them. Another thing that you can do is, so there's actually quite a couple of courses that you can enroll into without a matric qualification. But I must just put a caveat, you know, with regards to these courses. So some of them are accredited in that, you know, you could maybe have dropped out at grade 10 or maybe you didn't get a matric qualification. Some of them are at NQF level 3, whereby you almost started a very foundation phase and you can build up almost to an NQF level 6. So that's, I think, about a diploma phase. So there are courses which are accredited and recognized by some CETAs, which enable you to enroll into a particular skill. Most of them are quite technical, such as artisan, you know, and other technical skills that you're able to consider. But just be very careful, because there's also some which are not accredited. And I think for me, those are the ones that you need to be wary of. Because at the end of the day, if your qualification is not recognized and it's not accredited, then in essence, it might, you know, be worthless when you try and go and you get a job and an employer doesn't recognize it. It's not aligned to any NQF level qualifications. So be very careful, particularly when courses sound very appealing and, you know, there are very little requirements that you have to meet in order to enroll into them.
I got you. All right. What I want to do, just to pause some of the options available, we've got Nico from Springs who's got a question. Nico, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is based on NSFAS acceptance. And so a lot of kids got rejected due to not reaching the minimum standard of 350K a year. So a lot of them were in terms of their parents are unemployed, but they still got rejected. So now, what is the plan? Is there a possibility to appeal the decision by NSFAS, or
And I think that's a very, very good question, Nyiko. I'm not sure Fiona will have information of this. And if she doesn't, of course, we will make an effort to try and get those answers for you. Fiona, what do you know about NSFAS and students being rejected because they didn't meet a certain level? Do they get an opportunity to try again? And what options are available to them? Because obviously they're trying to get the tertiary education funded, and maybe NSFAS was the only place they could go.
Thank you for your question, Nyiko. Unfortunately, I don't have enough information to be able to make a comment on that particular question.
All right. We will see what we can do, Nyiko. If you listen on the radio, let's see what we can get in terms of information from NSFAS, because that's also something that maybe we didn't consider, is some people with their results now don't qualify for not just NSFAS, but any type of bursary or sponsorship that may have been available to them. So, Nyiko, if you listen in, we will get you some feedback before the end of the show.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for your call. All right, Fiona, so you've spoken about the option, of course, of getting a chance to improve your marks. You've spoken about the bridging programs, the second chance matric, going for a technical matric. One of the things that you did touch on is that, you know, if a person says, actually, I've been on and on for, you know, the past 12, 13 years, I want to do a gap year. And the gap year thing, I would say, was not very common in terms of a voluntary gap year amongst the poorer Black communities, because the idea of a young Black person staying at home and just figuring their lives out is just not really going to cut it in many homes. It's like you must either be in school or you must be making an income. What would the motivation be for considering taking a gap year?
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, Libohile, in that, you know, the concept of a gap year actually freaks a lot of parents out, because, you know, it's not something that we've, you know, historically done. And as you've rightfully pointed out, you know, it's not something that's, you know, been voluntary. But in essence, more and more students are starting to consider it. So you might find a student who's passed, who, you know, is able to get into university, actually just once feels like they need to take a break. So some of the parental concerns, and you know, and I guess, you know, which are valid, is that, you know, they feel that maybe the child might lose academic momentum, or that, you know, if they take a year off, they won't be able to fit back in. They'll be left behind when their peers have already started. So if you're a child, you know, or a learner who's listening and wants to pursue something of that sort, I personally believe there are benefits, and I've personally seen the benefits of students who've taken gap years and the growth and the development. So one of the benefits is that, you know, you get to learn new skills, and, you know, and you do it when there's no pressure. So you actually decide, I want to do this course. You know, there's no pressure of having to pass, attend classes.
And I'm so glad that you are mentioning this, because I think the misconception is gap year means doing nothing. You know,
or
the misconception is that everybody who takes a gap year is trying to go to London to work in a bar or be an au pair in Spain. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think we do need to say, actually, gap year can be many things, not just having a year of partying and making, you know, pounds abroad and then coming back and having to, you know, get started again.
Absolutely. You know, I wouldn't personally endorse anyone going on a gap year where they're sort of just going to, you know, bum around and not do anything meaningful. A gap year, in my mind, is only beneficial if it's actually structured and if there's some sort of goal or outcome to it. Some of the things that you could do, you know, is to learn new skills. You could volunteer. You could take short-term internships. You could, you know, pursue a business, you know, just a short-term business. You could travel if you have the means to do so. It could be, you could also do all these things in tandem to maybe, you know, upgrading the results. Sometimes you don't get into the course that you want to, the degree that you want to, and you want to reapply next year. Mm. So while you're waiting, you want to sort of be meaningfully engaged. And I know that there's a lot of gap year programs out there, you know, particularly which have all the glamour of traveling, you know, visiting other continents, you know, and doing all these things. But the reality is those come with cost, and, you know, they're not accessible to everyone, particularly the structured one. But that doesn't mean that you're not able to structure your own gap year program, which has some of those elements, but which is more self-driven, and you don't necessarily have to pay, you know, some of the hefty fees that come with it. So what are some of the things that you could actually do if you feel like, you know, you need a break? Because realistically, sometimes you just need to recalibrate. You need to take a mental break, and going straight into university might not be the best thing for you mentally, you know, and might even set you up for failure. So I think for me, that's one of the benefits, and that's kind of the rationale that some students have, you know, in that particular regard.
And so I think what you were saying about the volunteering one is such a fantastic one. And it doesn't have to be, it could be a charity, it could even be a company where you say, you know, let me take the time to just go and see what actually happens in the space. And it might help you within that period decide what you really want to do, because realistically, you might even have the kid who's come out of school now, has 10 distinctions, and is still not 100% sure what they want to be doing with their lives. And their brains might just be, as you said, fatigued.
Absolutely. And, you know, with regards to volunteering as well, you know, and if I just look at the different demographics and the socioeconomic backgrounds that we have in South Africa, volunteering has a cost implication, which I think a lot of people don't see. So if I get a volunteer opportunity where I need to pay for my own transport and my own lunch daily, that's on the basis that my parents can afford to sort of fund that volunteer.
Yes.
So it's not always, you know, as simple as that. So what I always say to students, if cost is an issue, you don't have to over-engineer it and think too far, like I'm going to go volunteer in another province, another country. Mm. Think of your own community, and a great place to start is your own school. So look at the school that you went into. There's always something you're good at. So maybe you didn't pass too very well. Maybe you passed very well. You could go and either tutor. You could run one of the social clubs. You could mentor kids. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of skills that even a school leaver has that are very much helpful, particularly for people who are, you know, younger than you. So whether it's matrix or grade 9. Mm. And that's a really great place to start. And especially if you've got a good relationship with your former teachers and your former school. And that's a form of volunteership. Look around your community. If there's youth groups, your place of worship might run some programs. So you don't necessarily have to join an international volunteer program. You can literally look within your own surrounds and community to actually structure your own sort of volunteership.
And I'm glad you mentioned the fact that volunteering is not free. The travel is going to be, and hence some companies will say, you know what, I'm happy to have some kind of stipend for you just so that you, you know, are not killing your parents by trying to get to work every day. And the idea that when you're not at home, you know, it does feel like it is actually an extra cost to be eating outside of home at that lunchtime or tea time or whatever the case may be. All right. So the volunteering I like, how can you use your own personal networks to try and get something? My family, I mean, we talk all the time, extended family. And what we try to do is, you know, it's easier if you can call somebody and say, or ask a friend because their dad works at some company, to say, listen, please, can you guys help me out? I don't have a plan. I don't have a whatever. My younger brother used to do that throughout his school holidays, is just go to different companies using, you know, his own family, just so he could get some kind of experience and see what gets done.
Absolutely. And for me, that is a first prize, to use your networks. I mean, realistically speaking, as a school leaver, you're not very marketable, you know, to people who don't know you. So it's through using your social capital and accessing your networks that you're able to get these opportunities. So such as you've said, if there's a family that, you know, family member that has a family business, go and ask to work there. That's kind of like your easier starting point, you know, than to try and sort of go to a company and motivate, you know, why they should take you. So use your networks as much as possible, because referrals carry a lot of weight, particularly in trying to access places which maybe you might not necessarily be very appealing for in terms of your portfolio or your profile. And another thing as well that you could do is, you know, there's a lot of free online courses out there. I mean, I cannot even mention from our local universities, from international universities. So there's many courses that you're actually able to do during the time in order to upskill yourself. And it's not necessarily that they will work toward the qualification, but they'll certainly help you. So if you want to eventually go into sciences or medicine, taking some free online courses actually helps you to acclimatize and start getting accustomed to some of the, you know, careers that you may want to possibly pursue. And there's a lot of great free courses online that you're able to access, and that also helps in terms of just mentally preparing you, particularly if you still intend on enrolling in some sort of tertiary, maybe within the following year.
I have seen tons of free online courses. There is a link that I saw not so long ago that was saying, and I'm happy to repost it, 190 universities just launched 600 free online courses. My sister's working and she's taken up one of the courses because she wants to upskill herself. Her younger brother's doing the same thing. So I definitely would like to offer that as an option for everybody as well, is that, you know, it is a new year. Other than, you know, being a matriculant, trying to figure out what you want to do or where to go next,
yes,
staying in a job and not upskilling yourself is going to mean that you're pretty much going to stay in the same place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another activity that's quite common within gap years is learning a new language. And, you know, there's obviously so many benefits, you know, in being multilingual and being bilingual.
Yes.
It could be a local language. It could be a foreign language, you know, depending on what you want to do. And it really helps in terms of just to helping to enhance your cultural appreciation, particularly within a South African context where we're working in multicultural environments. And that will ultimately help you, particularly within your soft skills, your relationship building as you enter the world of work or even as you study. And, you know, and particularly maybe if you have global plans, you know, learning a foreign language might also be of benefit to you as well. Another thing you could do is to look for a mentor. You know, a mentor is just an invaluable tool for anyone at any stage in life. So because obviously this will be a year of a lot of growth, reflection, looking at values, testing some of your values, a mentor will be a really great person just to touch base with, whether it's on a monthly basis. They might even help to direct you in terms of, you know, next steps and some of the activities that you want to do. So I would also encourage someone to look for a mentor. It could be professional, spiritual, health, fitness, you know, it could be in different domains. It doesn't have to necessarily.
Oh, I think I lost you there for a second, Fiona. But the other part of your list that you had added was finding a way to monetize a hobby. And I think if we just look at some of the simple stories we find on YouTube of, you know, the little five-year-old who's making $22 million a year from just reviewing toys. Now, obviously, these stories are few and far between, but it just goes to show that you also got to start to put yourself in a mindset of creating something for yourself and not just waiting for somebody to phone you.
Absolutely. And this could actually be a great way to almost test and fail, you know, at entrepreneurship, you know, without too much pressure before you have bills, you know, and you have to do the real adulting. So you've got a passion or you've got an idea that you think you will be good to monetize. This would be a great time to actually explore and literally take it through. And, you know, let's say if it does kick off,
I think I'm losing you there, Fiona. But what I'm going to do is put out all of Fiona's details for those of you that want to get in touch with Fiona Martin. She is on Twitter at Ms. MS Fiona, which is P-H-I-O-N-A. And you can also head over to her website, Fiona Martin, that's P-H-I-O-N-A-Martin.com, and get all of those options. So volunteer at a charity, work at a family or friend's business, take free online courses, rewrite subject, find an internship, monetize a hobby, get a mentor. The options are endless. So thank you so much to our guest, Fiona Martin, who is industrial psychologist and career development professional.